You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 9th of January. A quick Orlando primer, a look at lineup data from since the Kyle Korver trade, and then how do we get through this stretch without any point guards? We'll talk about it all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. So glad to be with you. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully a lot of fun along the way. If you got one of those smart speakers for Christmas or the holidays, make sure that you tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. It also can play Locked On NBA or any of the other great Locked On podcasts that are available to you. Jazz and the Orlando Magic today starts an incredibly important four-game stretch that the Jazz will be playing without Ricky Rubio, sounds like without Dante Exum, and without Thabo Sefolosha. We'll dig into that coming up here and talk about how it is that you get through this stretch and what it means and what the Jazz have to do in a minute. But really, this, we've talked about it a lot, but the schedule is now flipped. Now it's time. Like, there's no, and that's really, in my opinion, been the case probably, you know, post-Christmas. Starting that Christmas Day game. That last road trip, we played two really good teams in Toronto and Milwaukee, so you end up losing games. But it wasn't brutal. Like, the plane flights were short. There wasn't crazy. You didn't feel hammered. Today's probably the hardest game we've played just in your first game back. You've got a bunch of stuff to do. It's always the case, right? You always heard that. But then we're home. Like, so it's time to click in. I was taking some time with five-man lineup data, which I don't love five-man lineup data, but I thought it was actually, I think it's interesting with us. And there's some things about it that how the team has changed since the Korver trade that I think is really interesting. And if you're not aware of it, since the Korver trade, we're pretty good. So efficiency differential is net rating is a very good way to judge kind of where you sit. Right now we sit 12th in the NBA, Western Conference. The Thunder are 1, the Nuggets are 2, the Warriors are 3, the Spurs are 4, the Clippers are 5, and we're 6. The Rockets are right behind us at 7, the Lakers are right behind them, and the Blazers are tied at 8-9, so there's just no wiggle room. If you go back to the Kyle Korver trade, which happens while we're in Brooklyn on the 28th, and so you take November 29th to today, and you run it, then Boston's 1, San Antonio's 2, Milwaukee's now 3, we're 4. We're only 10-9 in that stretch, unfortunately, but we're 4, Indiana's 5, Rockets are 6, Thunder 7, Warriors 8. And the Western Conference, Spurs 1, Jazz 2, Rockets 3, Thunder 4, Warriors 5, Lakers 6, Nuggets 7, Timberwolves only 9-10, but 8, Blazers 10. I think there's two things of note here. I think we're kind of, if you kind of look at Minnesota, maybe revived with Ryan Sanders, we're probably at 10 teams for 8 playoff spots at this point. Sacramento, Memphis, Dallas fading out a little bit. And then the question is about the Clippers, in which case then we're at 11. And they seem to be, you know, should be in that. And so there's just no wiggle room. Okay, so if you look at our lineup for the year, this is what I think is really interesting. Our best lineup, completely great, plus 13.6 points per 100 possession. You look at lineups, offensive efficiency minus defensive efficiency, and you look at our lineups and you see that our best lineup is Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder, Gobert. And it's actually the lineup that has played the most possessions together. So Crowder in for Favors. We're plus 13.6. There's actually, you know, if everybody was healthy, at some point you think that that lineup seemed to be on its way to being the starting lineup. The second lineup is our starting five, which differential is now below zero. Just can't score. The Favors-Gobert lineup is just having a really, really, really hard time scoring. And this has always been the issue. And you saw the Bucks just exploited it really, really badly the other day with their floor spacing and what they did. And the grouping has just had, you know, it's not last year at this time, it got better. And there are not really, well, there was no sign it was going to get better then either. It just suddenly got better. But I would say, and I'm not sure I really buy that we suddenly figured something out. I just think guys, it just kind of got better. But this year, it's not doing that. What's a little disconcerting is how poor it's playing offensively recently. The lineup with both bigs on the floor has not had an offensive rating over 101 other than the second half against. So I have in front of me every stint that this lineup's played. Here's what it has been for the last few games. Minus 9 against Milwaukee, minus 13 against Detroit, plus 5 against Cleveland, minus 18 against Toronto, minus 2 against New York, minus 2 against Philly. Then it was plus 6 against Portland. It was plus 6 against Oklahoma City. It was plus 6 against Portland. Minus 2 against the Warriors. It actually was good against the Magic in Mexico City. But if now, what I have also is every short stint. So what our offensive rating has been with it on the floor. So in the Milwaukee game, it actually played four stints. The offensive rating was 100, 100, 129. In the 3 minute, in other words, didn't make a shot for 3 minutes. Against Detroit, it was a 44 and a 79. Against Cleveland, it was an 81 and a 109. So in Cleveland, we for 6 minutes had a positive plus, like 100's terrible, right? 100 is the number we talk about all the time, that if we keep a defense under it, we win. So the league average right now is about 108. One was about that. So we had one that's above average. In Toronto, our offensive rating was a 73 and a 71 in the two stints with Favors, Gobert on the floor. Against the Knicks, we crushed them. 150, it's the worst performance I've ever seen by an NBA team, and a 55. Against Philadelphia, it was a 95 and a 37. Against Portland, it was a 103 and a 90. Against Oklahoma City, they started great, 154, then a 102 and a 100. Against Portland, it was a 64 in the first quarter, a 124 in the third. Against the Warriors, it was an 81 and an 82. Against the Magic, it was an 87 and a 122. Okay. Let's go skew the numbers. Since December 29th against the Warriors, I'm doing this here on the air, 2, 4, 7, 9, 11. This is the amount of times they've been on the floor together. 13, 15, 17, 19, and then 4 the other night. 23 stints on the floor together. A grand total of 4 of those above the league average offensively. Now, we're not above the league average, so maybe that's not surprising, but maybe this is why. That's a lot of games where that lineup's just... And the problem with the Tabo Cephalosha injury is we might have to play it more. There's just no spacing. And then if Royce O'Neal starts, though Royce is shooting 40% from above the break three, so maybe we got to give him credit. He actually is spacing. The lineup's great defensively. We know that. The Wasatch front's amazing. How many times have they been over 100? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That can't be right. It's got to be more than that. Second half against Cleveland. First half against New York. First half against Portland, 103. First and second quarter against Oklahoma City. Second half against Portland. No, that's it. 6 of 24 stints for the starting five has been above 100 offensively. That's tough. That's really tough. That's, you know, the starting lineup's offensive rating is in the 11th percentile of all offensive five-man lineups. That's really hard. I'm a very predictable fellow. Yesterday I went skiing and I went to the store. And I took a bite of that mudslide cookie and I said, dang, that is good. Still just as good as ever. Had a wonderful time. My wife got was making dinner for a friend of ours who's got some stuff going on. So she was being the community mom and helping out with that. So we stopped by the store and she ran through there. And we saw Amy, who does a great job and got all of our stuff. And then they've got all the Valentine's candies out. So there's all sorts of fun purchases in that regard. And got the richest bagels for the kids for this morning. And just, you know what? You got to like a place that makes you smile. You can feel it when you're in the store. You can feel the community element. They were making clementine juice out of their juice, huge, massive juicer that was incredible. If you sneak around the produce and look around the back corner of the store, you can see them making all their salsa and their pico de gallos and all the other things that they make back there. And then in the back, there's all the meats, and my wife got exactly what she wanted, knew it was the highest quality. It's at the store, 6200 South, 20th East. Stop by. I strongly suggest that mudslide cookie. I think it's just absolutely a fabulous mix of a crunchy outside, a moist inside, the chocolatiest of chocolatey. It's just incredible. 6200 South, 20th East. It is the store. So that kind of sets up where I wanted to go with just, okay, so there's the first thing in our lineup data. Overall for the year, our next two most used lineups are actually also. So three of our four most used lineups are negative right now. The starters are barely negative. And then Rubio, Mitchell, Royce, Crowder, Gobert is negative. So he played 142 possessions. And then Rubio, Mitchell, Korver, Crowder, Gobert is negative. Now that's interesting. And that's where I want to get to in point two. The one thing that's happened with Kyle Korver is that the lineup that was our best lineup, Rubio, Ingles, Crowder, Mitchell, and Gobert, is not being used as much because there's been a desire to create this bench unit because the bench was struggling of Exum, Korver, Ingles, Favors, and Crowder, and that's been wildly successful. In 9 games, it's plus 14.2. The side of that is that the Rubio, Crowder, Gobert, Ingles, Mitchell lineup wasn't getting on the floor. The starters had suddenly played more minutes together than the bench unit, than that primary unit that was our best unit. Just how rosters form as the year goes on. It's always a yin and a yang. The interesting thing to that is that that first lineup that was coming in, Rubio, Korver for Ingles, Crowder for Favors, has struggled. They're not coming in a flow. They're negative 19.3 per 100 possessions. They've only played 51 minutes together over 12 games, but they're not coming in with same flow. The Rubio Crowder, the Crowder for Favors lineup that's been so great for us is playing, but they're closing games. They're not playing that opening stint. They're still incredible, plus 21. That lineup is just great. The starting lineup's been good recently. 5.4 positive because it's incredible defensively, 94.2, but again, the offense is below 100. And that's been a little, you know. Now, the bench unit that the Jazz were trying to create has been great, 14.2. The lineup that hasn't been great is when Royce O'Neal comes in for Ingles with Crowder in for Favors. That one struggled a little bit recently. And otherwise, nothing's really played much. When you take a short stint since Korver, I've only got five lineups that have played over 30 minutes together. You can't look at a lot. But what you can look at is that, interestingly, that first lineup that comes in that was replacing our best wasn't working as well. Okay? And that the offense of our starting lineup is just a struggle. The defense is incredible. Now, differential's all that matters. So that's just... Okay, so... That was kind of a season-wide issue. Now look at it now. But now what do we do? Now all of a sudden, we have got no Dante Exum, no Ricky Rubio, no Tabo Cephalosha for at least a week. We have played, according to Cleaning the Glass, 317 possessions this year in non-blowout time. I believe that these do not include blowout. With these groups on the floor, we are negative 12.3. It's a little disconcerting. We've got to find a way to win these next four games while missing 60 rotational minutes. It's a lot, right? I mean, you're playing 240 minutes a game. We're missing 25% of our rotation. All minutes coming in this game. Neto, Mitchell, Royce, Crowder, and Favors, or Korver, Crowder, and Favors. So Donovan are the two that have played, you know, a few possessions, and we have struggled. There's almost no minutes with Gobert, though. So that'll be the interesting one to watch. The traveling partner of Raul Neto and Rudy Gobert. The two. Now, I don't know that Neto starts, so this might not be relevant. I don't know what Quinn's going to do for starting lineup. But if you put Raul Neto and Rudy Gobert on the floor together, I think you know this. They're like best friends, travel together, spend a huge amount of time together. They've only played 120 possessions all year together. So that's about 40 minutes, 48 minutes, maybe a few more. That's work. That's been plus six. Only because the offense has been amazing, kind of unsustainably great. The defense has not been good. So that'll be a key. Now, the next one is, does Donovan go back to point guard? Is that how we survive this stretch? So last year, Donovan played a significant amount of his minutes at the point guard, about 34% of the time. And this year, he's played about 5%, according to Basketball Reference. Last year, when Donovan was on the floor, we were pretty good. The lineup of Mitchell, O'Neal, Ingles, Favors, and Gobert, so maybe our starters tonight, was plus 18. Now, the other ones all kind of involved Rodney and Joe, and there was a lot of the other one that might translate tonight would be Donovan, Royce, Ingles, Crowder, Gobert, and that actually surprisingly wasn't as good, only 99 possessions, though. All the other lineups have somebody in them that is either not available to us or no longer on the team. But last year, Donovan played about kind of what I could guess, 1,900 possessions as a point guard. We were plus two overall. We turned it over a decent amount, 16% of the time. We got to the line a little bit more than we regularly do. Our shooting was kind of right on our regular numbers. And defensively, we were not as sharp. Donovan, point guard, with Rudy at center, which is always, you know, if you want to know what our defensive numbers are, you have to look at it with Rudy. Then we were better, but not elite. Donovan with Royce, Joe, Favors, and Gobert was great defensively. That lineup, which we may start, was plus 18.4. But this gets tricky. Without Dante, according to Tony Jones, for a couple of weeks, Jazz released yesterday on Rubio and Cephalosha that they'll be reevaluated in a week. That does not mean they'll be back in a week. That means they'll be reevaluated for a week. This gets really tricky. And I think you end up playing Neto and Donovan as your point guards. Certain nights, Neto could probably stretch out to 28 like he did against Milwaukee, but I'm not sure you can do that on most nights. And so I think Donovan becomes your one. Neto becomes your two. Donovan and Neto become your ones. Royce O'Neal becomes your two. Ingles becomes your three. Korver increases some of his time. Crowder is your backup to Favors, but you don't have a backup to Crowder unless George Niang comes back in the rotation. Favors is the backup to Gobert, and you almost could play Epe more, but then you're relying on the reason I started the show where I did, then you're relying on the big lineup that has a hard time scoring. It's really tricky. And this is a huge task, and really four games we got to get. Take a look at Orlando and quick run around the NBA. First, let me introduce you to Iron Gate Global Advisors. I want to tell you about Iron Gate Global Advisors, a financial group out of Salt Lake City, small shop that understands your journey, aren't pushing products on you, and have a strategy, direction, and process. I found out about them from Spencer Nelson, former Utah State grad, who, by the way, has an MBA, accounting and finance background degrees, and worked Wall Street and private equity. And he tells me about the personnel. Brian is the chief investment officer.
Brian's a long-term investor, Warren Buffett disciple with a proven track record of active management. He views investing as not trading stocks, but buying pieces of businesses that he believes in. He's focused on not getting caught up in what's hot today or tomorrow, but doing the research, looking 1, 3, 5, even 10 years out with a very patient, methodical approach.
Couple that with Brett and his longtime options background, and you have a versatile group. It's Iron Gate Global Advisors.
To find out more about Iron Gate Financial, give Spencer a call, 888-591-0334. That's 888-591-0334, or email him at spencer@igga.com. Anytime we're talking investing, understand that past performance isn't indicative of future results. Also, options may not be for everyone. They have different risks. Make sure you consult a professional before doing anything with them. Do your due diligence. Orlando Magic come in at 17-23 and far worse analytically. They are 28th offensively, 14th defensively. Do play that dropping big and length and long with Isaac and Bamba and Vooch and Aaron Gordon. And they're going to clog the paint and try to prevent you from getting looks around the basket. Jazz did a really good job of attacking that from angles against Milwaukee. Quinn talked about that on the coach's show. They can be very good defensively. If we struggle offensively, they can be very good defensively. They're the 7th best team at denying you to get to the rim, 12th best team defending the rim, 6th best team at denying the corner three, 9th best team at denying threes. So they're going to force you out of the analytically smart areas of basketball. Their half-court defense is only okay. Their transition defense is really good, which we're not good in transition at all. That's been a real hiccup for us so far this season. Vukovic is tough. Pulls Rudy out a little bit. We've adjusted our defense well since Mexico City. I think Rudy will be better for it tonight. Evan Fournier is on fire. Aaron Gordon is struggling a little bit. So is DJ Augustine. So that's your quick little primer on Orlando. I thought there were some interesting things last night. Minnesota playing with Ryan Saunders as their head coach. Andrew Wiggins, like, exploded and became Andrew Wiggins in one night. Like, if this is real, like, the world just changed. He had 40 points. He had 10 rebounds. He had 4 assists. Like, this guy, with some regularity, has no rebounds in games. Like, it's, for him to suddenly have 10 boards is an effort level and a commitment that is completely different. And I mean, one of the number one questions talked about in NBA circles is whether or not someone can reach Andrew Wiggins. Like, it's a kind of a crazy concept. But if you look at Andrew Wiggins, last night was his only night all year where he's had 19 games this year where he's had 0 or 4 rebounds. 19. They've lost most of them. Like, he's just got games where he's just not engaged. Last night, he had 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 40 points. Cat goes 8 of 14, was great. The rest of that team's got to figure out what they're going to do. Tyus Jones had a very good game. And then Russell Westbrook had 25, but took some wild shots late. I think I'm on the old... I watched the end of that game last night, and I got to think Paul George wears out from this, but it doesn't seem it, right? It just doesn't seem it. But those were terrible, down by too late. Those were terrible, terrible looks by Westbrook. And you could see a little disgust in Paul George's face as they went off the floor. Though Paul George, once again, in the final 24 seconds of a close game, missed a three with 24 seconds left. I mean, his track record is terrible. He missed another one with 46 seconds left. And so, you know, and Westbrook had made his shots. So maybe, and actually I think Wiggins blocked George. So Paul may have missed his final 3 shots of the night. So maybe Paul doesn't have any place. And maybe the disgust on his face was his inability to do anything in the final 4 minutes when Westbrook actually was carrying them a little bit. Just an interesting thing to watch. Other games last night of interest. The Phoenix Suns came back to beat Sacramento last night. Phoenix is not terrible right now. Sacramento outscored Phoenix 40-18 in the second, and then the Suns rallied back to win. Kelly Oubre gave him 26 off the bench. Things are slipping in Sacramento. Denver got an incredible shot by Nikola Jokic last. He had a triple-double. He and Jamal Murray are really special together right now. And they're just playing shorthanded and winning. 103-99 last night in Miami. Impressive. And the Clippers blew out Charlotte because Charlotte is the Western Conference whooping boy. So that kind of runs you through what happened last night. Oklahoma City, to me, they deserve incredible credit because going 15-0 or whatever they've done, 16-1, against terrible teams has value. But boy, does the schedule made us view them differently. Against the 9 teams in the league that are not very good, they beat Phoenix. Listen to this. They've beaten Phoenix, Washington, Cleveland, Phoenix, the Knicks, Phoenix, Cleveland, Atlanta, Detroit. I don't think Brooklyn's on that list. They lost to the Bulls. Beat Chicago. Beat Phoenix. Lost to Washington. They've played 13 games against those teams. They're 11-2. Otherwise, they're 14-13. I know you're tired of this. We're 20-21. We're 3-1 against those teams. Otherwise, we're 17-20. They're 14-13. Like, that's, in my opinion, virtually the same when one's had to play 37 games against those teams and one's had to play 27. Like, had we had their schedule, I think we're 25-15 and fine, or 24-16. And everyone's talking about them as, oh my gosh, what's wrong with them? They're 20-21. And I'm not sure they're 20-21. They beat the crap out of us, and they got us in our building too. So, you know, who are we to say? But I also think they got us in our building on a back-to-back, if I remember correctly. Since that day, they're 4-5. Why? Because they started playing Minnesota, Houston, Phoenix, they won, Dallas, Lakers, without LeBron, Portland, Washington, and Minnesota. It's not even that hard. Keep an eye on them. That is Locked On Jazz today. Now go tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA or Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day.